safety for the preacher and his wife as he brought them here. And we thank you for providing for them with this new motorhome that they got. And we thank you for that provision. And we thank you that he's here today to preach to us, because it would be an encouragement to our hearts. And we pray that we would truly be like we just sang in this song. I'm so happy. Here's the reason why. Jesus, your son, took our burdens away. He did it on the cross. So we thank you for that. And we pray that you bless this time. And may everything that we do bring honor and glory to you. And not be of ourselves, but all be for you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay, let's get back to singing number 56. Number 56, Oh Say But I'm Glad. Number 75, The Savior is Waiting. Song number 153, Deep and Wide.
Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain.
children's song with a great message in it as well. Okay. Well, we have two birthdays being celebrated this week. Only one is here right now, and that's Lydia. She turns two, I think it's tomorrow, right? All right. And hopefully the Pirellis will be here later. Brother Les has a birthday this week as well. Let's sing happy birthday to Lydia. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Yes, Florence. Okay. All right. We're really glad to see you with us, okay? Glad you're able to make it today. All right. Okay. Now, the two children's classes can now be dismissed. While they're being dismissed, let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. Bless you. Wow. All right. This is the time of year when the weather is changing and people are getting colds, I think, or allergies, one of the two. Romans chapter 10. We've been studying this passage for a number of weeks now. We started out in verse 8. We are now looking at verse 14, and that verse is a little bit longer, so we're going to be on it for a little bit. We'll take the opportunity to say verses 8 through 14 together one time, okay? Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 14. All right, here we go. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? All right. And by the way, that doesn't mean someone like Brother Siebold here who is in full-time ministry. That means all of us can be preachers of the gospel. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, Brother Siebold, we'll turn it over to you now and trust that we'll have a great time in our lesson today.
Amen. Sure, it's good to be here for you.
Place like the hospital or a nursing home or anything else like that. Hey, I'm glad I'm here. Amen. I may not have all my faculties, but I'm glad I'm here. You can laugh at that. Talk to my wife. She'll tell you how true it is. I sat down. I grabbed the songbook that my wife was singing out of. I'd like that. And it dawned on me that every Baptist ought to have three books. Amen. You know what the number one is, right? The good book. Amen. And this song book is fabulous. It really is. The cover is excellent and all that kind of stuff. The songs inside, songs we used to sing. Amen. And we sing them all the more. And we don't always need to have something new. Not that there's anything wrong with something new. I got new shoes and I got a new shirt and a new whatever. That has to happen. I can't be wearing the ones when I turn 17 or something like that. So I got new. This song book is fabulous. So we got a Bible. That's called the Good Book. And we got a psalm book. Amen. Now, there are three books. And I was hard-pressed to try and think of what the third book might be. But let me give you a hint. It's called the pocketbook. If you're a good Baptist, you got yourself a good book, a psalm book, and a pocketbook. Amen. Some of you aren't smiling. That means you're a Baptist. That's all they talk about at that church. I'm at that church, and that's all they talked about was money, 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 money. That's not the case. Amen. I again say, we brag on your church as we travel around visiting churches and just bragging on what God's doing. Folks need to know that there is a place that's still alive, still breathing, still singing the old-time choruses that we used to sing. Amen. And we still sing, and we ought to sing in the days that lie ahead because they're sound doctrinally. Easy to remember, easy to, the melody, and I don't know anything about that. Excellent piano player here. Tell you what, you're renowned. It enhances a church service. Amen? And I've said it to you before, I'm going to say it again. You know, another thing that enhances a church service is a smile. All right? People need to walk in and see you smiling. Find something to just smile about. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. You can sit around and criticize the saints, but I came to praise the Lord. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving. That's what we are. We are what? Thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Take your Bibles, if you would. Glad to be here. And we're just glad to serve the Lord. Oftentimes when I say take your Bibles, and people look at me and say, okay, now what do you want me to turn to? It's all good. It's all good. Don't put it on that. That is something else. I saw one out of place right there. Oh, my soul. You look at yourself when you play the piano?
No.
Oh, you took a little while to answer that. Looks back at you. Amen. I believe today is going to be a Lord's Supper day, a time of reflection. Is that correct? Am I in the right place? Right church, right pew. We're doing in good shape. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, you may turn there. And then we're going to give you a handout just to keep it in such an order that way. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there's a lot to read and a lot to do, but we're just going to read that one where it says, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. I don't know if you have the Catholic background, if you have a Catholic background and so forth and so on, but they used to have you go to confession. And they had the priest standing, sitting in a little bay. I never went to confession. That's because I never did anything wrong. But my wife is very familiar with the confessional. I was Lutheran in background. She was Catholic. Some of you, I'll let you know when I'm joking, okay? I'll go like this. Joke, okay? But we confess our faults one to another. We ask God to forgive us. We ask one another to forgive us. There's nothing wrong with confession. There's nothing wrong with confessing the fact I've done something wrong. Some of that needs to be between you and me. Some of that needs to be you, me, and the Lord. Some of it needs to be me and the Lord. We need to stay right with God. And so if we confess our sins, but here in this verse, let me get back to where I was. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Isn't that nice? You ever go to the doctor? I was getting a CDL renewal, commercial driver's license. And my eyesight, you all look good and you all look like you're smiling. Okay, so just, I don't know if you are or not, but you're just one big blur out there. And I did not want to get glasses. Ego or whatever reason, I just did not want to get glasses. So I went to get my CDL and they give you an eye exam. Okay, so the nurse sits me down and she has that little chart, you know, with the big letter up on the top and so forth and so on. So she points maybe like to the second row and I say, could you give me a hint? And I managed to get somehow, it's a couple of the letters or whatever. And so we went through it, and she said, can you fill out this form? I'll leave the form with you. Can you just fill it out and hold like a questionnaire? Yeah. And so she left the room. I pulled the chair over. I stepped on the chair onto the little place where they sit you down. Why did I do that? So I get closer to the light. You ever notice if you have bad lights, the brighter the light, the better it is. And so I brought that over, but it really didn't help much. And she says, well, here's a form for you to fill out. So I started filling out the form, but I really couldn't make it all out. And so I did check off, you know, it had a column and another column. And so I checked up, and I didn't know exactly what I was checking. I really didn't. This is just the way it happened. And so I got it all filled out. I go back out. Ma waited in the car for me. My wife, Ma, she waited in the car for me. I got back out and I said, Ma, this is the form they gave me to fill out. And she starts laughing. They want to know when my last pregnancy was. And I put something down there. And she said, this isn't going to fly, Rev. This is not going to work. And so I had to go back in there and find the nurse and say, I made a mistake here. And we did get it corrected. I gave up my CDL, though. I don't have it today. I had it for the longest period of time, but I gave it up. What I'm saying is, let a man examine himself. But sometimes in examining yourself, you may not be as accurate as your wife is, or your husband is, or your children may be. So we need to ask God to help us to examine ourselves. In the Catholic Church, anybody have a Catholic background, been to Mass, been to confession and all that? I never did. Ma went, but I never had anything to I never had anything to confess. Thank you. Yeah, that was a joke, for sure. So we're in Scripture, we're enjoined, the admonition is there, let a man examine himself. And so as was given me when I went into that doctor's office, I'm going to give you a form. And as you did in a doctor's office, you just need to put your name, your birth date, your birth age, your social security number, your address, when you... No. There's no place for a name on this. This is yours. I'm not going to look at it. Your wife might want it and sneak it away from you. You can put it in your Bible later on tonight when you're sound asleep. She's going to tiptoe in there and see what you put down. You don't have to put anything down on a piece of paper. These are coming from 2 Timothy. So if you got over there in 1 Corinthians, go now over into 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, and we're going to do verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, just to help us examine ourselves. Now, I'm standing here just out of necessity, perhaps, but I think we ought to be honest before God and every once in a while do a checkup. Ask God to help us with the checkup. The verses here are not directly taken from Scripture. They are, but I've just put that little word, are you, and then the Bible verse, and then a kind of an idea, and I'm going to ask for your English understanding of words and what Paul meant when he made. Now, he didn't make them in English. He made them in Greek, but... We have an English Bible right now, inspired of God, and so we're going to look at those words and see. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's plain, understandable. We thank you that we have it this morning set before us. Pray as we look at it and study it and consider it that you would send your precious Holy Spirit to be an illuminator of our hearts and our minds. Do great things. We thank you for what's been done here in this place. We thank you for the lights. Thank you for the property. Thank you for all that's done. Thank you for the people who assemble on a faithful basis regularly here in this place. Send your hand of prosperity, spiritually speaking, upon it. And now for these few moments that we have together, give wisdom again, I'd ask, in Jesus' name, amen. It's an awesome responsibility to stand before the people of God with the Word of God. And my hand doesn't shake a whole lot, but when I hold them together like this, it does help the nervousness. I have a degree of levity, okay? But I also have a degree of understanding that this is very sacred time, very precious time. That we as a body here are establishing and setting and continuing what God has done over the past weeks, months, years, and it's now invested in our hands and our lives. And I don't let my lightness of heart always say, well, that can't be really important. It's really important. That maybe this place right here that God looks down from the portals of heaven and says, hey, there are some independent fundamental Baptist folks still singing them songs, still reading from the Bible, still doing what they did back yonder. And what an awesome responsibility that we have. You are part of the redemption or the prolonged salvation of a nation. I think God's pleased with what you're doing here. His desire is that here could be over there and here, and over here and there and down there. Amen? And over here and there and down there and there. We need to have a revival. We need to have an awakening. And when I say that, you know, you say, well, we're all right. You might want to get down on your knees, ask God just a little bit how right we are. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth's not in us. I mean, just search around. Spend a couple of days. You might find one thing. Maybe. Here, the Apostle Paul just said nicely, here's some things. And I had my wife type them out as I... It's just the Word of God, okay? And we have put in front, and I put in front of that statement from God's Word right here, because we're examining ourselves. And so rather than speaking about lovers of their own selves, as we're talking about somebody else, we're talking about me. We're talking about me. Three people, me, myself, and I. We're talking about me. And so we're just going to go through, there's 19 or so of those character traits, I suppose, or lack of character traits. Years ago, anybody remember ACE, Accelerated Christian Education? All right. Years ago, they had, I think it was 46 character traits in their little manual. And they would go through those, and the students would go through. And so I thought that was great. I thought it was a help to the teacher, to the students, to the parent, and so character traits. Things that we've lost in this nation. And it's about to reinstitute them. We are, as God's children, about ready to reestablish. Not reestablish, but establish. No, just we're about ready to reinstate them. Look at number one, and we'll just go down them. When I had my wife type these out, I said, kids say it, teenagers say it, boring, boring, and then boring, okay? But you're not teenagers. And so I want you to be excited about it. And so that way you can share it with other people. You're excited about what God's word has to say that will help us. And that's one of the reasons we go to get an exam. We were talking just a few moments ago about eating, what we eat and what we don't eat, what we should or shouldn't eat, an exam and so forth. Let's get off the doctor business. I'm getting nervous. Verse number one, this know also, we are to know some things, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We have been in the expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it this way, since I got saved. I got saved, and the next day I expected Jesus to come back. I was in Jersey City. I got saved on a Friday. I went home for the weekend, got confirmation of my salvation, came back on Monday. Why should I do any studies? Why should I do any homework? Jesus is coming back. Why should I be diligent in my preparation for an engineering vocation? Jesus is coming back. I'll probably never, that's not, we need to be cognizant of what God wants and his expectations for us. Maybe, just maybe, there's not as many converts today is because of the converts of yesterday didn't manifest what the salvation experience did for them. That song, The Things I Used to Do, I Don't Do Them Anymore, right? We just sang a little bit of that. And there was an idea that when you got saved, the things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. If I was willing to give you $100 for each thing that you used to do, you don't do them anymore, I hope I'd be broke. There's been a great change. You know the rest of that? Since I've been born again, there's been a great, great change. Since you've been born again, I hope that's reality, and I hope the change stayed a change. Does that make sense to anybody? Makes some sense. And somewhere along the way, my observation is the change that we made back in 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago has crept back in. There was a period of time when preacher would get up here and I'd wax eloquent about some of the character traits that ought not to be in a Christian home, fundamental church, so forth and so on. And you'd get smiling. If I was to do that today, and I'll exempt you just to be kind because I don't want you doing anything to the motorhome out there. But if I was to do that today, you would get upset. You probably would get bothered by some of the old time, what they call the old time gospel. It would annoy you. And you would decide, Reb just did that because he knew he was only going to be here for 24 hours, and that was it. So he figured he'd get under our skins, he could agitate us, and so I wish the Holy Spirit of God would agitate me. I wish the Holy Spirit of God would agitate us. Amen? And here, the apostle is saying, let's just look at some things that ought to be agitating to you. I said to somebody this morning, I don't go back to the doctor because I don't want him to find anything wrong. You know why we have some empty church seats here? Some folks don't want to come and find out what they're doing. It might possibly be contrary to God. God loves you regardless of the condition he finds you in, but he don't want you to stay in that condition. God loves us. We started this now three times. Verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own self. Now, I've had Ma type that out. Are you lovers of your own self? Now, here's a couple ideas. Are you selfish? You say, not me. I'm not selfish. Are you part of the me first of all society? Oh, no, not me. Let a man examine himself. I'm not going to collect these. You're not putting your name on them. You can rate yourself an A, B, C, D, E. Yeah, you go all the way down to Z if you want to. But you can rate yourself. And don't sit idly. And I'm not even suggesting you take a pen, but just rate yourself. Am I a lover of my own self? A me first culture. It's all about who? It's all about me is the culture in which you find yourself. Covered dish dinner? You ever watch people? Who's going to be first in that covered dish situation? You're all looking at me. I know it's not me. I always wait to the end of the line. Not always. All right? We need to be caring about others. Others, yes. How's that go? Lord, let this my motto be. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. Others, yes, Lord. Paul was saying here, let a man examine himself. Do you care more about yourself than you do others? The second one that he listed didn't put a number in front of his, but it was covetous. Eager to obtain someone and what someone else has. You all complimented me on that motorhome out there, amen? Some of you might have even thought, I wish I had one like that. Why does Rev have one and I don't have one? I've served the Lord longer than Rev served the Lord. I've been more faithful than Rev's been. Why don't I have one? I wish I had one. That's nice. We could downsize our house. We could call it just a little teeny house out there, whatever they call those things. Oh, it is so neat. Do we covet? Having food and what? Raiment? Therewith, be content. And I will tell you, it is exciting to live in that mind style. We have lived in million-dollar homes. Wow! Yeah. Having food, clothing, therewith be content. I think God saw that we were content. And in the contentment, it wasn't always easy. Somebody burns a building down, it's not easy to be content with folks, 80 people coming to church at your house. All right? It's not always easy. Well, we're content. We're happy people. Praise God. And God saw that. He said, I'll let you stay right on the beach in the wintertime in Jersey. Now, we don't go to the beach. Listen to me now. We don't go to the beach in Jersey or anywhere or any other place in the summertime. If we're on the beach with sand between our toes, and I told you this before, with the sea breeze up my nose, it's not a justification for taking off your clothes. You want me to say that again? You got that idea? Well, it's the beach. That's no justification. Anyway, at this rate, we're only going to get to number three. Are we covetous? Do we wish we had something that somebody else had? Or are we just plumb satisfied? Amen? I wear thrift store suits. Amen? Amen? Oscar De La Myers or somebody? Oscar? Does that mean anything to anybody? It means absolutely nothing to me. I went into a thrift store. I said, I'm not spending a whole lot of money. It was half price on suits. It was reduced from $15 down to $7.50. Now, I didn't recognize the name. Okay, didn't recognize it. Okay, I tried it on. Fit. This is not the suit. But I tried it on, and I bought it for $7.50. Well, since it was a thrift store suit, I thought I'd better take it to the cleaners first. And so I bring it to the cleaners, and you know, most cleaners are Oriental, Japanese, whatever. And so I dropped it off. She didn't look at the label. I come back. She say, "Where you get this suit? You can't afford this suit. Where you get it? This is..." And she said, "If Jesus would do it." And she said, "Where you get it?" God has a way of taking care of you. Amen? "Where you get that motorhome?" God got that motorhome. Huh? Well, it's because we were happy when we had to push the car, park it on a hill. You all know that. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Stick shift. Yeah, battery runs down, dead most of the time. So you park it on the hill. You get your wife behind the wheel. Tell her which one's the clutch and which one's the brake and which one's the gas pedal. And you just give it a little push, and then you run down there. Now, if she don't do it right, and you get to the bottom of the hill, and it didn't start, then what do you do? I hope you didn't do what I thought you might be doing. You yelled at your wife. All you had to do was let the clutch up. Are we covetous? Are you a boaster? The third one written down there. Do you exalt yourself? I battle with that. Do you exalt yourself? Are you a good cook? Oh, cook. Oh, yeah, I'm a good cook. Are you? Oh, yeah, yeah, I can do that. You ever been with somebody who just seems to exalt themselves? And just told you an illustration about my suit. Well, you're just bragging on, you know, your spirituality. No. I want to thank God for what he's done in my life. I want you to know that living for God is worth every bit of quote-unquote sacrifice that you might have to make. Are you a boaster? But you better be bragging on God. You can boast on Jesus. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love him, praise him a little bit what? More today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. God's good. God's been good. Are you proud? Are you proud? You're grading yourselves on this, okay? You can do it from 1 to 10. Just don't sit there and let it go in one ear and out the other. Are you proud? Arrogant. Nobody can play golf as good as the man you're looking at. Don't even laugh at that idea, Ma. You're being arrogant. No, we need to recognize it. Anything that we have, God gave us. Anything that we haven't capitalized on, we messed up on. There's almost every area of your life you can improve on. How many of you sing? This young man plays the piano. I don't know if you can improve on playing the piano. Do you think you can improve? Who? His answer was spontaneous. Oh, yeah. All right. If I played the piano, if you played the piano like that, you wouldn't say, no, that's that. God got something when he got me. Do all that. But praise God, it adds to the service. It adds to the condition of the service with that type of music. But you know what? That type of music without this type of voice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's what God's looking for. Good music, good voices, best you got. I'm only one, can't do everything, but I can do something. And what you will, what I can do, what, by the grace of God, we will do. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? I'm going to stop over here just for a second. The singing here is fabulous. I don't know if it's the acoustics of the hard floor or some hard-headed people, but anyway, it's the acoustics or the voices. And it's really, we've been in a whole lot of church, and I don't know of any sound like this when we come in here. It is. You ought to enjoy it. You ought to thank God for it. You get home today at lunchtime when you're praying for the meal. Thank God for the music. There's within my heart what? A melody. Jesus whispered sweet and low. Is that how that goes? Something to that effect. Let's go down on this list. We're not going to get very far. Are you proud? Blasphemer. Do you speak evil of God? But let a man examine himself. Well, we talk about disobedient, number six. Are you disobedient to parents? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Are we disobedient? Biblical parents, how many of you would say, maybe I don't want to up that the hand probably, but how many would say, I had godly parents? I had godly parents. How many would say, I didn't have godly parents? How many say, I'm not exactly sure. One day they were, one day they weren't. Okay, so I had some godly parents. If you've had some godly parents, thank God for it. Thank God that he proves you. And then we can be a godly grandma and grandpa. Help me out. What's one of the arguments, not argument, but I have kids and my mother. What would my mother be inclined to do when I discipline my daughter? What would my mother be inclined? Talk to me now. I'm not looking for a whole essay or anything. But what would my mother be inclined to do when my little girl was doing something she shouldn't have been doing and I am now structurally disciplining my daughter? What do you think my mother would do? What do you think your mother would do? I don't want to intimidate you. What do you think a lot of grandmas do? Aw, Georgie, she didn't mean to spill her. I asked her to move her glass away. She didn't move it away. Now she's, but Georgie, she didn't know, you know. Are you a grandparent? Uh-huh. I'm going to park here for a little while. Just for the sake of moms and dads here. All right? We need to be careful. Oh, but they're just so harsh on them. Looking at what we find in our Christian schools today, looking at what we find in our culture today, doesn't seem like parents have been too harsh on their children growing up. Can I get an amen? We need to have a little bit more structure, not necessarily harsh, but we need to have a little bit more structure. I told you to go to bed. Done deal. No, it's not up for discussion. It's just a done deal. Anyway, this is not a lesson in parenting, but it does help. Are you disobedient to parents? Some of us are great-grandparents. We are on number seven. Are you unthankful? Lack of sincere appreciation. If I was to go around real quick, give me something that you're thankful for. Mom, give me something you're thankful for. Thank you. She's thankful for me. No. What are you thankful for? All right. Good. This young lady right here. Amen. Well said. Thank God that he placed you here in this church to receive and to give. To receive and to give. It's not like receive. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. It's receive and give. Amen. All right. Have you ever met my oldest daughter, Miss Kay? She married a preacher up in New York State. They've got five kids, and they're all doing great and all that kind of stuff. But my little girl, Miss Kay, I wanted to make sure she was thankful. Thankful. I think I told you this, but if you've got a memory like mine, you probably won't remember. I wanted her to be thankful. And we were not wealthy at this particular, not that we've been wealthy at any time, but at this particular time, we weren't wealthy. And so to get an ice cream cone, a store-bought ice cream cone was a big deal. And right around the corner for us was a Carvel. Did you ever hear of Carvel? Okay. And right around the corner. And so I happened to have some money. Okay. So I took my daughter over there and myself, and I got her an ice cream. And we got back in the car, and she started eating it, but never said thank you. I reached over when she's about ready to take her second lick, and I took the ice cream cone. And she knew what I was doing. She knew that I wanted her to say thank you. So she said thank you. And I took a big lick of the ice cream cone. She said, Daddy, you didn't hear me. I said thank you. I took another lick. Thank you, Daddy. I took another lick. I got that. The cone's the best part of Carvel ice cream. When all that ice cream melts down in the bottom, gets soft, and old people don't. You know, anyway, you just gum it. Yeah, there it is. And she said, thank you, Daddy. Thank you. I'm down where I'm crunching on the cone, and all the melt is down in the bottom. She hasn't had a bite of it yet. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. I ate the whole thing. My wife's sitting back there, how can you be so mean? And then why do you have to tell the people that you're that mean? But I ate the whole thing. And I will guarantee you that if you met my daughter, Miss Kay, today, she would say, so nice meeting you. Thank you for smiling at me. She'd find something to say thank you about to you. All the time, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, that's mean. No, her husband likes it a whole lot. Her kids like it a whole lot. She teaches in a Christian school. They like it a whole lot. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody take your ice cream cone away so you could learn once again to say thank you? That was intimidating and it was presumptuous on my part that you don't say thank you. But I've been around a while now, and there's a lot of folks who just have gotten that social grace of saying thank you. And it's not just saying the thank you, it's being thankful. Amen? We have been blessed of God. I mentioned it just, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. We ought to be just plumb thankful to God for what he's done for us. But Rev, you don't understand. I've got terrible pains and I got terrible illness and I got all this. What am I to be thankful for? Thank God that he's given you a sensitivity to feel the aches and pains. There are some folks who had to stay in a room, couldn't go out of the room because their sensitivity to pain was not there. And they, thank God you can feel pain. Amen? What am I doing? I'm debating whether I should say it or not. Some of you are saying I married a pain. I was debating whether I should say that or not. From your response, I probably misappropriated the answer, came down and got diffused along the way. Number 8. Are you unholy? Without righteousness of heart and mind. Have we become acquainted and familiar with ungodliness today? It doesn't shock us anymore. There's a young man, a Christian college, who had tattoos. And he was playing basketball in the gym. And somebody looked at his tattoo. It was an inappropriate tattoo. He had it, and somebody was looking at it, and the man who had the tattoo, he said, wicked, wicked, wicked. And there was not much at that particular junction in his life that he could do about it. Wicked. Have we lost? When you were just a little child, you remember, it's howdy doody time. You had to get something on one of those channels before it got dark because you couldn't get a channel after dark. And do you know there were people who preached against the Mickey Mouse Club? Do you? Somewhere, we need to come back and say, We need to get back to righteous living. Now, I'm not saying I'm an example, Mom's an example, or my kids are an example, but I'm just saying to us as a church, we get back to this idea of righteous living for the sake of somebody else. Somebody's walking in your footsteps. I'm sure I told the illustration, the guy who got up in the middle of the night, he had an alcohol problem. It wasn't the middle of the night, but before the bars closed, and it snowed. And so he puts his boots on, puts his coat on. His little kids watch him, a little boy about 7 or 8, I guess, or so. And he watched Daddy put on his boots. And the little boy watched him. Dad went out the door. You know where Dad was going to. He's going to walk down to the local tavern. And his little boy watched him do that. So he put on, the little boy put on his boots and watched Dad. And Dad didn't realize the little boy was watching him and walking behind him. Dad gets in the tavern, orders his favorite drink up in there. Next thing, the door swings open. And Dad flips out. What are you doing here? You shouldn't be in this place. This is no place for you. It's wicked. You ought not to be here. And the boy said, Daddy, I was just walking in your steps. I was just walking in your steps. Isn't it an exciting thing to know that this man and his wife sitting right here are raising kids that are going to be just like them? Isn't that exciting? Most people, no. I don't want my son to be like me. Now, you don't know how to answer that. You're looking at me with that. Do you want your daughter to be just like you? Didn't take you long to answer that one. Nope. And her head's going back and forth like that, like one of the little things you put on your dashboard. Now, I'm going to challenge you regardless of what you say. You ought to have a desire for your children to be just like you. The mistakes that you made, you don't want your children to make. Did you learn anything from those mistakes? You don't want your kids to have to learn the way you had to learn. So you be the teacher before they get an opportunity to make the mistakes that you made. Then you start educating them along the way. Unholy, unthankful. Number 8, unholy, without righteousness of heart and mind. Let a man examine himself. The Holy Spirit of God participating in your life is exciting. You know my thing about speeding. Does it bother us anymore? Those signs that say 50 miles per hour, if we're going 70 miles per hour, are we setting a good example for our children? That's why we don't want them to be just like us. You all still there? I don't think so. I just crossed the line. All right? I have two things in that motorhome. One is automated, and the other is my wife. The one that's automated will tell me if I'm going 2 miles over the speed limit. Somehow the thing recognizes what the speed limit is. 5 miles over the speed limit. All the time. All right? And I know, I've talked to you before, I've hidden about it and stuff like that. But what has happened, everybody, almost, has to go over the speed limit. Otherwise that big semi truck behind you is going to be pushing you into the ditch. And so our culture has built a clientele of disobedient individuals. If we don't care, go as fast as you want, then put a sign up. Speed at your own risk. At least they'd be obedient, and they wouldn't be around too long either. But we need to have some greater spiritual obedience. Unholy, without regards of heart and mind. 9, without natural affection. Is that not a major issue? Without natural affection, we often think of the unisex movement and boys, girls, men, women, and all that kind of stuff. But it's just natural affection. There are some things that God has placed in it we just ought to like. It'd be natural to like. It would be pleasing to God to like. We made reference to your music. You know why? We have a natural affection for that. That's good music. The devil's crowd has an abnormal affection for abnormal music. Most Christian folks sitting here while he was playing the piano, you were enjoying that because you have a spiritual affection for that. It's in harmony with God. What the junk over here is in disharmony with God. So we need to say, I like what's in harmony with God. I'm not an artist, and I'm not exactly sure which colors are in harmony and which are colors are not. But when you look at a picture and it's pleasing and it's attractive, there's something in harmony with nature. It's not out of harmony. It's in harmony with God. It's in harmony with nature. If I was to take these chairs and rearrange them in disorder, you wouldn't feel as comfortable as you do right now. Now, I'm not just talking about sitting in, but I mean just if it wasn't structurally in order, if they were skewed, maybe backwards, you wouldn't realize it, but it would be agitating. It would annoy you. It would bother you. I sometimes wonder if God's not bothered by what he sees when he looks at humanity and the spiritual condition of humanity. God is a God of order. Let's go down to another one. What time are we done here? Well, you got the ending. We're done. Amen. Take the sheet and do. You know what happens most of the time in my life, your life, our life, is we'll take it, we'll fold it in half, and we'll stick it in our Bible and probably never look at it again. But maybe you might. And that verse came from, those ideas came from Scripture. And I think they would help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the few moments we've had together. Trust that something that was said, an idea that was alluded to from your word would help us. That one day we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless the service, all that's done in your name. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I would pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention.